make new friends. How about that, huh? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to John, into John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Well, praise the name of the Lord. This has been an exciting morning. Hasn't it been an exciting morning? You know, and you know what is so amazing about it is that, you know, here in John in chapter 4, this is where I left off last Sunday. I left off. I had you to turn here. I don't know if any of y'all recognize that. I had you to turn here, but I never did read the scripture. And this has to do with worshiping in spirit. Worshiping in spirit. And we're going to look at that. This particular message is called The Joyful Way. The Joyful Way. And we're going to look at that and describe that. You know, this is also a big part of, I had a hard time going on, so I haven't really, you know, the great romance of the Spirit was last Sunday's message. When I say message, for me, it's more of a subject. I may make it my title, but it's more of a subject. And so we were looking at the great romance, and that's exactly what it is, a very personal, very personal. We talk about it all the time. You know, a lot of times it's just church lingo, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beginning place of entering into that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but then there is also a broadening and a deepening to the point that when, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we enter into this glorious and this wonderful love affair with Jesus. And that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a great and a wonderful and glorious love affair. And we know that, for example, we know that. I just a few words here, and I'm going to come back to it as well. But, you know, the Song of Solomon, you know, describes that love relationship, that intimate relationship between a man and between a woman, and which is a reflection of a relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship. That picture of the relationship of the, that's why the evil one has attacked it so much to mar it, to mock it. Okay, to destroy it as much as he possibly can. You know, relationship, marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. You know, this is a, not only perversion and wickedness and evil and condemned by the word of the Lord, you know, but it's also a mockery. The enemy puts it out there as a mockery. That's what it's about. And that mockery and that perversion is becoming greater. As closer we're coming to the coming of the Lord, the greater the mocking is going on. I don't know if you recognize that, you know, but all the signs around us, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we can discern the signs of the times. And the signs of the times tell us, be ready. Then be ready. Be ready. Live for the Lord. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Live for the Lord. And that's what we want to do, you know, is live for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us. I will talk more about the Holy Spirit, but I, as we go along and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, start searching the scriptures, you know, and prepare yourself and get baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I have no fear or reservation of speaking any of that, you know, because the tongues, which is also referred to as in the Spirit, I'll show you that in a minute, you know, is a great tool. It's a great tool. It's the great compensator. I wrote that in a little letter for you, okay, that it's the great compensator, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the great compensator. He's also the great enabler. Okay, he allows you to come out of the restrictions and limitations of your flesh and your fleshly man. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because let me tell you something, you're no longer in the flesh. Read it for yourself. You're no longer in the flesh, but you're now, as the word says, in the Spirit. And the only one that can really show you what that really means is the Holy Spirit. You know, but you understand that you're now able to operate in the Spirit. Okay, and that is that your heart's been set free. This is if you walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is in Galatians, right? And it tells us that. So it's one thing to be born again by the Spirit, but the will of God is now that you walk in the Spirit. That you walk in the Spirit. and that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, and so tongues set you free from my only expression being this mouth right here, which is highly connected to my intellect, right? My intellect, and my intellect is tied to logic and reasoning, okay? Well, we just now got locked out of knowing God intimately, because you will never know God intimately through your logic or your reasoning. I'm not saying that it's not wonderful or good or right. Like, for example, I've got to take up this word right here and read it, okay? And read it, all right? And I'm using learned behavior, right? I learned how to read, and, you know, I keep on reading. I pick it up, and I read it. I'm not relying upon logic and reasoning. And listen, I'm not relying, or nor am I impressed, because somebody, you know, tells me what the word says, and he's got a great big old PhD behind his name. That's more of a hindrance to him than it is a blessing. Okay? Oh, they got their place. But listen, saint, don't bite in. Well, you know, these Bibles with commentaries. All right, you want them, you keep them. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But you know what a lot of Christians do? Is they get confused and the devil uses it against them. Here's the word of God, and then they got the commentary in the front, and they got the commentary in the back, and it's between these back, you know, these binders right here. And then all of a sudden, they think that what that man says is what the scripture says. What that man says may not be right. It's because it's in the commentary. Okay? Have your Bible. Wait, this is a different program, man. You know, what we're in Jesus here is not the way of the world. It's not the way of the world. We know God by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit reveals Jesus to you. You know, here's what we have to do. We have to learn, all right? And we'll be taught by the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to come out of the intellectual realm of knowing God into the revelational realm of knowing God. And in that revelational realm of knowing God, that God is revealed to us by the Spirit. He's revealed to us by the Spirit. The things of God become alive. They become real to us. All right? Because the Spirit makes them real. It's, you know, in your intellect, there's no power to act. There's no power to act. It's just words. It may be true words. You know, so many glory in having every jot and tittle, you know, of church doctrine just lined up, you know. I mean, just lined up so perfectly. Oh, that's good. But that's where their confidence is at. And they think that they're right with God if they got their doctrine straightened out and they adhere to it in their intellect. But then they fail to realize that a lot of times their deeds don't line up with the confession of their intellect. That's called being deceived. You're not better off because, oh, you know, I mean, I've got the doctrine down, you know, and I have the basic doctrines of the faith. I've got them down, you know. And so this false security comes into the man of intellect. It's a false security, you know, because that does not change his behavior. It doesn't change his deeds. It doesn't change his intentions. It doesn't change his heart's desire. Only the power of Almighty God can do that. And he does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here we are, you know, it's a wonderful time of worship. You know, it's demonstrated. I'm going to demonstrate some worship here in a little bit, and I will show it to you. But here, I want you to look in John 4, and look with me. We're coming down in verse 23, and this is right where I left off. I had you to turn there last Sunday, but I never read it. I didn't ever read it, but it's time for us to look at now. And it says in verse 20, but an hour is coming. Now look at this, and now is when the true worshipers, I want you to see that, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. So you can see that that's what we're to be. What are we to be? We're to be worshipers. That's what we're to be. You know, and now that expression of worship comes out in a lot of different ways, okay? You know, like for example, this morning. You know, we're singing. We are worshiping by singing. But now I don't want you to think that that is the extent of worship at all, okay? So, you know, that's not living a life of worship, is it? Because we come here on Sunday morning, and what did we do? 30 minutes? 20 minutes? 35? Whatever? Of worship. Now, it's worship, okay? But that's not living a life of worship, if you understand what I'm saying to you. And that's what this scripture's talking about. It's talking about living a life of worship. Well, you know, I envy a lot of you. You know, Kathy, all of y'all. Oh, y'all can walk around the house and just sing up a storm and worship. And then there's poor old saps like me that can't sing a lick. I mean, we're just shut out and left in the dark. Not really. But anyway, but you know, because worship is more than singing. Oh, praise God. Oh, such a glory. Okay, that we entered into here this morning. And there's many expressions of worship. Singing, you know, we sing. But worship is more than coming together, you know, on a Sunday and singing. Okay, we do that. You know, there's many expressions of worship. You know, you can raise your hands, you know. You know, the Lord, He loves that. I'm going to be honest with you. He absolutely loves that, okay? He loves you because that's a symbol of surrender. You know that? That's a symbol of surrender. You know? Hey, get your hands up, okay? You know? And worship the Lord your God. You know, there's some that say that you haven't really, you know, gone to church and entered into the worship unless you sweat a little. Okay? Did you do any sweating this morning? All right? You know? Jason's got an advantage over us, you know. But I don't know. I don't know if you've got too much more of advantage over than me. I won't tell you that right now. You know, because I'm worshiping the Lord with all of my heart. With all of my heart. You know, however that may be, okay? You know, and then also, you know, the Word of God is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And then also with praying in the Spirit, the Word of God goes on, talks about, you know, singing in the Spirit. That's singing in tongues. I'm going to look at that in just a minute, and I'm also going to demonstrate it. And the reason I'm doing this, you know, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, where are we going with all this, you know? You know, because two Sundays ago, what we did, you know, there's a release. The Spirit has told me that when I do these things, there's a release upon you. And one of them, then that was, at that time, was the new wine of the Holy Spirit. And that last Sunday, what I did, you know, was I released love song upon you. Love song upon you, you know. And that love song and that wooing, the wooing, we're going to talk more about that. That's not just a one-time subject. You know, the wooing, okay, of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, you know, where this comes about. Where this comes about is that when you come into worship, all right, and you tie worship with fellowship, that you're looking for fellowship, all right, and you come before the Lord in prayer, in fellowship, and in worship. And when you marry those three together, there's a transforming power that comes. When it's done through the Spirit, you've got to let the Holy Spirit have His way. Now, I told you a minute ago, all right, now, we've got to learn. Because we've been now for centuries calling knowing God having an intellectual knowledge. You know, that's what we've been doing for centuries. That's what churches have been doing. You know, if you're a learned man, okay, you're a learned man, it's because I read the man's book, all right? I took the test, you know, whatever it would be, all right? That, you know, an intellect, you know, that you're an intellectual. Fine, wonderful. Well, you don't know God because of that. It's by the Spirit. It's by the, because only can He be revealed by the Spirit. I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense? You know, so we're, you know, we got to get away, all right? Now, you know, like for example, I'll tell you a little story. So on my journey, my adventure, you know, in things of the Spirit, hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. And then here was my brother and I, you know, and boy, we were, I told you about that man, David Watkins, you know, that introduced us to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, we were hungry. My goodness, we'd go anywhere. We'd go everywhere we possibly could. And whether we heard there was a working or a moving of God, man, we burned up the highway, all right, my brother and I. You know, so this was in Indianapolis, All right? And this was during the charismatic movement time. And I can't remember this man's name, you know, other than his name was Hamilton. His last name was Hamilton. He was a regional teacher, Midwest Bible teacher, and he was a coach. He was a coach, and he'd become, you know, well-known in that realm there. You know, and he had this meeting that was in the basement of, you know, a mainline church. I don't know if it was Presbyterian, whatever it was. So anyway, here's my brother, Bob and I, and we go. You know, and it was a Tuesday night, or it was a night day, or whatever week. And we go there, and we're about to walk in, and Bob, my brother, he opened the door, you know, and he shut the door real quick, you know, and he turned to me. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, they're singing. Oh, okay. Well, we're late already. Let's go on in. He said, nah. Let's wait out here a little bit because they're singing funny songs that we don't know. They were singing in the spirit. That's what they were doing. You know, and I mean, I said, no, let's go on in, you know. And that was the first time I ever heard that in my life, you know. Okay, and, you know, so then when we went in, we sit down. I'll never forget it. I was sitting there, you know, and the people beside me, you know, were, hey, worshiping the Lord, you know, with all their hearts. And, man, I felt odd, okay? I felt odd because I'd never seen it, and I didn't know it, you know. But listen, we have to cross the void from the intellect into the realm of the spirit. That's what we've got to do. As it may be feel foreign, you know, but that's the transition time that goes on in that. And that's what happened. And then, you know, a little later on, you know, of course, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you something now that you need to know this, you know. You don't approach tongues with a ho-hum attitude. Yeah, you know, you want it. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, my goodness. And I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm going to do it anyway. And that is that, you know, about tongues, if you don't understand this. See, it was given on the day of Pentecost. You know, the Spirit was poured out. The church was birthed, okay? And the baptism in the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, do you know why, you know, wait for the promise of the Father? What promise? What are you talking about? You know, right? You know, wait for the promise of the Father. What promise was that? Well, you know what the promise was? The promise was that he had promised through the centuries, time and time and time, he'd prophesy through the prophets and on, that he'd bring many sons and daughters to glory. The reason that the Holy Spirit was poured out is because God said, I love you so much, I'm going to make you like me. Okay? I'm not just going to stamp you with a label and call you a son or call you a daughter. What I'm going to do is what I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, what's he called? The Holy Spirit of what? Promise, right? And how has he been given? As a what? As a pledge, right? Another word would be an earnest. Ever bought a house? Oh, I want that house. Okay? All right? Well, I mean, you know, it's $200,000. Oh, I want that house, though, you know. Well, okay, well, let me give you my pledge. Let me give you my earnest money. Isn't that what you do? Right? You give your pledge, you give your earnest money. And, you know, and what does that mean? That means, man, I want to show you how serious I am. And then not only how serious you are, but you know what else you're saying? You know what else you're saying? You're saying, okay, this is my $2,500 on my $200,000 house that I want to buy, you know, and this is my earnest or my pledge. That's what you say, you know. And what else are you saying? Well, the rest of it is coming, and it's going to be paid in full. I hope you get it. So this precious Holy Spirit has been given to us, you know, as a pledge. As we live out our lives and we live out this life and we live out these days and we have this moving and this working of the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit and these touches that are so, he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. But one day, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, you're going to be made like him. Do you understand that? You're going to be made like him. Oh, hallelujah. It's not going to be in this frail body, you know, that right now. But this body, you understand right now, is that I need to be in this body right now because that's my tie to the earth. I'm a man of authority. You understand? You are a child of God of great authority because you are in body. You are of this world. You are of this life. Now you have the indwelling of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit allows you to be the vessel of the touch of God in authority in the earth. One day, you'll receive a glorified body. And you'll see him just as he is. Because you will be just like him. That's what's coming your way, right? But now, you know, the pledge, okay? The pledge, you know, the promise. You know, been sealed in the Holy Spirit's got nothing in the world to do with once saved, always saved in any form or any fashion, okay? And it's not saying that. You're sealed in the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God's going to keep you into the day of redemption, you know? And he's going to be pouring himself in you and out of you, and he's going to be taking up more territory in your being more and more and more as you walk with him, you know? He is the one that keeps you. Are you with me? Well, praise God. Amen? Amen. All right, so, you know, here we are. Now, let me give this to you. This word worship right here, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read 23, 24, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Then he says in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. First and foremost, worshiping in spirit is worshiping from the heart. Okay, first and foremost. Now, there are many aspects of worshiping in spirit. One of them is in the gift of tongues, all right? You know, that enables you. The great Holy Spirit is the great compensator, and he's the great enabler. What you can't do in your flesh, and you have no power to do, he empowers you to be able to transcend, overcome, and be a person of the Spirit. Oh, that's an amazing thing. All right. Now, so we see here, God is Spirit, right? And so he's looking for worshipers. Now, that word worship, it's also the same word for worshipers, is proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O, proskuneo. This is what it means, to do reverence, to bow down, or to bow before, all right? Now, that doesn't mean you have to do that necessarily physically, but we do it in our hearts, all right? We do it in our hearts. How do we do it in our hearts? Well, number one is that when I'm worshiping, if I'm really worshiping, I'm yielding my heart to God, all right? I'm yielding my heart to God. I'm not singing words. I'm not operating out of my intellect. Okay, even speaking in, you know, my natural, speaking in my mind, okay, my natural language, I could worship from the heart. There's limitations. I'm going to tell you that right now because it's only in the Holy Spirit where the limitations are taken away. Okay, but at the same time, I'm worshiping from the heart. I yield my heart, all right? And then also, I'm humbling myself. Okay? And, you know, and in humbling yourself, what does that mean? You know, get on the floor and grovel? No. When you humble yourself before the Lord, what you're doing is that you're opening up your heart and you're yielding yourself to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I hold nothing back from you. I'm all of yours. That's what it means to humble yourself. I'm holding nothing back from you. I'm all of yours. Now, even if we're doing congregational singing, now what is happening is we're entering into worship. Right? We're entering into worship. You know, we yield our hearts before the Lord. All right. So this is the great work of Almighty God in our lives. Now, let me take this a little bit further here. So proskuneo, that is the word worship, and it's also the word for worshipers, okay? And that's broken down. Now listen very carefully. That this is broken down from two root words, all right? You know, I'm going to spell it again, proskuneo. Accent on that O, proskuneo. And it means to do reverence, to bow down, to bow before. Now, these two root words, pros, this is the first one, pros, P-R-O-S. Now listen, it means toward. It denotes a local proximity. Okay, I'll explain more of that. Okay, that proximity is before him. Are you with me? That proximity is before him. This is what you do before him. Okay, all right. Now, it also means it denotes motion. All right, now think about that. Towards, after, or near. All right, let me read it again. Pros. Okay, that's the first part of the root word of worship. And it means it denotes a local proximity. It means toward or before. And it also denotes motion. Right? Hey, open your mouth and sing. Hey, raise your hands. Hey, express your heart before God. Okay? Baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. Okay? Express your heart, right? You know, to sit there, and nobody does this, I know that, but to sit here like this and don't open your mouth and don't enter into worship. I don't want to be that person. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. Let him have his way with you. All right? Okay, now, you know, let me give you, this is very important. Let me give you the second portion of the word worship. That's what we're looking at here. Okay, the first root word is pros, P-R-O-S. You know, kuneo is the second part of that root word, K-U-N-E-O. Okay, kuneo. And what does kuneo mean? To kiss. Did you hear that? To kiss. So y'all can go home and you can tell your friends and your neighbors, did you know the preacher was talking about kissing this morning? To kiss. Now, let me give you the whole definition in a clearer way. Okay? You know, so what does that mean? It means draw near to kiss. Right? Draw near to kiss. Are you seeing this intimate love affair, this divine wooing of the Holy Spirit that keeps wooing us into deeper fellowship, deeper worship, okay, deeper experience of him? And so intimate is it that it's to kiss the Lord. It's to kiss the Lord. That's a very intimate act, isn't it? It is to me. All right, kiss, right? A very intimate act, you know, between you and the Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn, if you would, and if you would, 1 Corinthians 14. I want to just touch on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I just want you to hear this, right? I want you to hear this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to look here. Look at this. I know you've read these things before, but look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, look at what he says, my spirit prays. Now look at this, but my mind is unfruitful. Now I know you've had teaching on this, and I'm going to teach more directly upon it, and that's not my point. Right now I'm going to make a reference to it. But I just want you to see that when the Word of God says that when you pray in a tongue, you're praying in the Spirit. Now, you know, see, the people who don't like tongues and they don't accept tongues, then when you read in other places, you know, like when you read in Ephesians 6:18, you know, with all prayer, praying in the Holy Spirit, all right? Well, that's interpreted to the non-tongues people, you know, that's praying the more perfect prayer before God. Really? Explain to me when you get to that. okay? You know, well, first of all, that's error, all right? Because they got to do something with it, because they don't like tongues and they don't like the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm going to say it because it's the truth, all right? They don't like tongues and they don't like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's nothing more than a doctrine. I mean, you got to do something with him because, my gosh, he's on every page in the New Testament. So, my goodness, you're going to have to explain him away somewhere, right? So, you know, he's not an experience. He's not to be known intimately, but he becomes a doctrine. And then also, as he not only becomes a doctrine, but they talk about him doing things that they don't allow him to do. I wanted you to see this because this is the truth. Because I want to tell you, the New Testament church was a Pentecostal church. It was a church of the Spirit. Okay, that's what it was. That's what it was sent off to be. And it was sent off to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to have to use all the trappings of the world to entice people to be a part. And then it's no longer the church of glory and of the presence of God. Okay? And when, I tell you, when times of testing come, those people will not have the power to overcome. And they will be overcome. Now, right here again. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. That's very clear. But my mind is unfruitful. I won't get into that now. I have talked about it a little bit. Your spirit man bypasses the intellect and the expression of the true expressions of the heart, anointed by the Holy Spirit, are able to be expressed. I mean, you know, I can only say, Lord Jesus, I love you so many times. Right? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I'm not saying that's bad, but don't you feel the limitations when you do it? Don't you feel that when you start, you're going to have prayer? You know, prayer now is not really prayer. It's a devotional time. You know why it's a devotional time? Because we don't have any power to pray. That's why we call it a devotion. And everything is just all right if you've got a devotional time. Oh, you spend that 20 minutes or whatever it would be, you know, with God, and oh, everything is okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not okay. And I'm here to tell you that that's not prayer. Now, it's okay to have that. But the Holy Spirit takes you into more. Because he's the enabler. He's the compensator. He's the one that anoints. And he's the one that empowers you and allows you to be able to express your full heart before the Lord God Almighty without limitations. Then it goes on, and I'll just read it. It says in verse 15, what is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit. Now, we already know that's tongues because he already said it. Okay? I will pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. When you pray with your mind, you're praying in your understanding. Are you with me? He's making the distinction. Are you seeing it? There is a distinction here. There's a distinction between praying in your mind and praying in the Spirit. The verse above it said that praying in the Spirit was to pray in tongues. It's settled. There it is. It's settled. All right, now, let me go on. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind. Now, look at this. I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. What were we doing here this morning? We were singing with our mind. Oh, some of us were singing in the Spirit. Okay, there as well. All right, but, you know, this is what the Word says. I'll sing with my mind, and I'll sing with my spirit. I'll pray. I'll pray with my mind, and I will pray in the Spirit, which is tongues, made very clear. Now, I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to come back to all these subjects here. John 19. Beatrice is going to come forward. Okay, I got something for her to do. Always got something for her to do. You know what I mean? Now, we're talking about this great love affair. And when we're talking about the Spirit, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, to be able to enter into the great love affair, the great romance of Jesus, and that you can experience the kiss of the Lord, the kiss of the Lord, the intimate kiss of Almighty God to be between you and Him. That's what is intended for you and I in the love of the Lord. All right, now, I'm going to shift this a second. I'm going to read here in, it'd be best if I got over in John, wouldn't it? John 19. Here's my question. Did you know that Jesus had feelings? Oh, well, we say yes, but you know, a lot of times we don't think that, well, he had feelings. Of course he had feelings, but he didn't have feelings like me. Oh, yes, he did. Do you think that he didn't feel hurt when he had people to malign him? You think he didn't have any of that? But now here's what I want to tell you with his feelings. With his feelings, they only went so far in controlling him. And then what he did is that he turned them over to walking in the will of God with those feelings. Are you hearing that? Okay? And therefore, he never sinned. Do you think that Judas's betrayal did not hurt Jesus? Do you think he didn't grieve over Judas? Yeah. But again, his feelings only went so far to where they were yielded over to the perfect will of God. Now, this is the new man that Jesus has created. It's found in Hebrews 10. We'll look at it sometime. You know, that Jesus has come and prepared a new man for us to walk in that is governed by doing the will of God. Are you with me there? Okay. Yeah, he had feelings. I want to take it a step further. Can you imagine? What feelings do you think that Jesus had hanging there on the cross? Let me read this. I'm coming from John 19, and I'm going to read 33. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And immediately there came out blood and water. You know, without doubt, at least is it symbolic that when Jesus died on the cross and when his spear entered into his side, into his heart, that the heart of God was pierced that day, without doubt. Can you imagine Jesus looking down from the cross for through the eyes of God? And this humanity that is spewing all this hatred and vile and the like and have completely rejected him, that Jesus looking down at the ones that he created to be his love object are actually in the process of killing him and proclaiming, you not be Lord over us, we'll be Lord over ourselves. Which is what really their heart was. Can you imagine that this is what it's come to? This is what it's come to? Humanity has come to this and is putting actually their creator to death in Jesus? Well, you know, there's others that say that, you know, that when he was pierced, you know, he was already gone, okay? But that because it was the blood and the water, that his heart exploded. You know, the pericardium around the heart, I'm not a know anything, but it contains fluid, okay? And there's some that go as far as to say that what happened there with Jesus was that Jesus died of a broken heart. I don't know. I'm going to have Beatrice minister to us for a minute. You just draw near to the Lord, okay? As she does this.
This is a broken heart by Dallas Holm.
Thank you.
got your heart broken too. Son, you don't know what to do out here. And you think that you're the only one who's ever hurt this way. But there was one another day, another way. And he died of a broken heart. It broke for you and me. He loved us more than words can say, and more than we could see. His death was not from pain he felt while hanging on the tree. No, he died of a broken heart for you and me. And it seems you've come to the end, and you're standing all alone without a friend, and you're just so sure. But there was one who hurt this bad, and even more. Yes, he died of a broken heart. It broke for you and me. He loved us more than words can say, and more than we could see. His death was not from pain he felt while hanging on the tree. No, he died of a broken heart. Oh, he died of a broken heart. Yes, he died because he yes, he died of a broken heart because he loves you and me. So you got your heart broken too. Your heart so bad, you don't know what to do. You think that you're the only one who's ever felt this way. But there was sure another, one another day. He died of a broken heart. It broke for you and me. He loved us so much, more than words can say, and more than we could ever see. His death was not because of the pain he felt while hanging on the tree? No, he died of a broken heart for you and me. And it seems you've come to the end. And you're standing all alone without a friend. And you're just so sure that no one has ever hurt this way. But there was one who hurt this bad even more. Yes, he died of a broken heart. It broke for you and me. He loved us more than words can say and more than we could see. His death was not from pain he felt while hanging on the tree. No, he died of a broken heart. Oh, he died of a broken heart. Yes, he died because he loves you and me. Yes, yes, he died because he loved you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, worshiping him, filled with his love, experiencing the love of God on an intimate basis, letting the Holy Spirit take you places that you could never go in your fleshly man. You could never obtain, never understand, never express. But by the Spirit, he's the great compensator. He's the great enabler. Because God is Spirit. And he lets you be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Kathy, won't you all come? Mighty God. Ole mahale one one halono anane ne 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 halono ya no 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 amrete ro to anane do na anano yele poto kolono one manane ala. Oh, my, I'm a lion. Oh, This next one. This next one is the invitation. Will you let me love you? This is what the Lord is saying. Will you let me love you? And here it is. Listen. Will you give me all of your opinions? Will you give me all of your positions? Will you give me all of your feelings?